Praise God. Well, amen. We've already called Randy to the Philippines tonight. And we'll read a little bit from 1 Samuel. Amen. And see what we get from there. Praise God. 1 Samuel chapter 28 and verse 7. Then said Saul unto his servants, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servant said to him, behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor. Tradition says that this woman was Abner's mother. And that was the only reason that she escaped, because she was the mother of the commanding general of the king's army. And whether it's true or not, I don't know. But it sounds reasonable to me, since it was commanded of Israel to destroy everybody that was a witch. Everybody that had a familiar spirit was subject to be stoned. Now the reason that Saul asked for a woman to inquire of Samuel for him was that Saul couldn't get a hold of God himself. God had cut him off. It's always God's plan for us to go to God ourselves. If we will be honest with God and repent and ask God to forgive us of our sins, and that's the first prayer the sinner must pray. God, have mercy on me, a sinner. That opens the door. And that lets him in, and many people can pray for you. Living people can pray for you, but they can't save you. You're going to have to pray yourself. And Saul has got so far from God that when Saul inquired of the Lord, 6th verse says, the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. Saul had got so far from God, he couldn't pray for himself. Amen. He was anointed of God too. If anybody should have been able to get a hold of God, Saul should have been able, because he had the anointing oil. He had kept his date with destiny. God had anointed him specially to be king. Amen. Behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit. We call that spiritualism, when people come together and peep and mutter and put their hands on tables and try to hear from the dead. We call that spiritism. The Bible calls it witchcraft. Saul disguised himself and put on other raiment and went, and two men with him, and they came to the woman by night. And he said, I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring me up whom I shall name unto thee. And the woman said unto him, behold, thou knowest what Saul hath done. Now he hath cut off those that have familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. Wherefore, then layest thou a snare for my life to cause me to die? And Saul sware to her by the Lord, saying, as the Lord liveth, there shall no punishment happen to thee for this thing. Then said the woman, whom shall I bring up unto thee? And he said, bring me up Samuel. And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice. The controversy still rages today whether the woman really got Samuel or not. If she did, God overruled and allowed Samuel to come back from the dead momentarily. Many, if not most, commentaries say that it was a demon imitating Samuel. Amen. And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice. And the woman spake to Saul, saying, why hast thou deceived me? For thou art Saul. She saw through it. She'd already begun to smell a mouse when Saul swore by God that she wouldn't die for this act. The king said to her, "Be not afraid, for what sawest thou?" And the woman said unto Saul, "I saw God descending out of the earth." He said to her, "What form is he of?" And she said, "An old man cometh up, and he's covered with a mantle." And Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed himself. Amen. Samuel said to Saul, "Why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up?" And Saul answered, "I am sore distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God is departed from me, and answereth me no more, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore I have called thee, that thou mayest make known unto me what I shall do." That was Saul's last strike. He already had two. He had already offered sacrifice and intruded into the office of the priesthood, contrary to the word of God. He had already saved the best cattle and the best sheep of the Midianites and Agag himself alive, all the while saying, "I have fully obeyed the Lord." Samuel said, "If you have, what meaneth this, the lowing of the oxen? And who's this here you've got?" But Saul was a good charismatic. He said, "I fully obeyed the Lord." Amen. He could still talk religious. He could still say, "Oh, that's for religious purposes. I brought them back to sacrifice to the Lord." Amen. "Old Agag here, he's just a trophy." Amen. "We brought him back as a trophy." But that wasn't what God said. That was two strikes. Now when Saul, an anointed king, goes to a witch to call up the dead to get a hold of God, God cuts him off completely. From that moment on, there would only be one more battle. Saul would stagger out into that dark Palestinian night with his knees smiting once against another. Poor sweet Jonathan would follow like a lamb to the slaughter, a victim of those horrible circumstances. Amen. He was caught in the middle. The Bible said, "Honor thy father and thy mother." And now here his father has gone awry from God's will. Three strikes and he's out. And Jonathan, it seems, is caught in the middle. A terrible dilemma for Jonathan. Jonathan would die that next day, just like Saul did. Amen. Because Saul never really repented for himself. And because he didn't, he was always wanting someone else to get a hold of God for him. Amen. Friend, God wants you to talk to him for yourself. You're his child. You're his creation. He wants to hear your voice. Amen. What does God want me to say? I don't know how to pray. Amen. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye." How many would take the word of Jesus for it? Would you take the advice of the Son of God as an outline for prayer? Amen. Here it is. If you want to pray, amen. Here's how to do it. Our Father, which art in heaven. You can go yourself. You can go for yourself. Hallelujah. Oh, it's wonderful to have saints of God praying that God will send the move of God and send conviction and save your soul. That's Bible. Amen. But in the last analysis, nobody can do your praying for you. Oh, you need to go to God. You need to go to God in the name of Jesus for yourself. And then Jesus, who stands at the right hand of God, who is deity, He will go to God for your behalf. He said, I'll pray the Father and He'll send you another comforter. He said, this is a covenant you can have in prayer. And whatever you ask the Father in my name, I will do it. You say, I've done so much wrong, I can't pray. Tell God that. Amen. Tell God about it. He said, if we confess our sins to who? God. He's faithful and just. Who is? God is. To forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Every prayer starts with acknowledging God and His holiness and how holy His name is. Amen. You can do that. Just like the Bible said. As easy as you can talk on the telephone. If you can talk to anybody on the telephone, say, I'm bashful, I can't talk, I can't pray. If you can talk to anybody on the telephone, hey, amen. I mean, if you can dial 911 and give directions, you can talk to God. And I'll tell you something. If you get a hold of God enough, you'll have the devil in the phone booth dialing 911. Praise God. And that'd be better, wouldn't it? Amen. Hey, there's nothing more powerful than a saint on his knees. Hallelujah. And the time to pray is now. While you're alive. It's not God's will that we try to call up the dead to pray for us. Amen. It's not even God's will that we try to commune with the dead. That too is spiritualism, they call it. That too is the earmarks of a cult. Amen. That peep and mutter. Hands on tables and amen. Bishop Pike was a liberal preacher. And he didn't believe the Bible was the Word of God. And when they discovered the Dead Sea Scrolls, it seemed to vindicate the fact that the Bible was a lot older and a lot better than a lot of people said to us. So he made a trip to the Holy Land. But not until before that, he was from St. Louis, incidentally, and he had a whole story of his life, and I read the whole story. I can't remember whether it was Reader's Digest or whether it was a biography of it or not, but after his son died, Jim, if I remember correctly, amen, might have been Randy, I don't know, amen, but Jim, if I remember correctly, amen. Jim died, and it so moved Bishop Pike that he contacted a medium by the name of Ford. And Mr. Ford attempted, and to Mr. Pike's satisfaction, did contact Jim and bring a message back from the dead. Many signs. Bishop Pike, who didn't believe anything before, didn't even believe in the supernatural before, didn't even believe in the Bible before, amen, as the Word of God, and him a preacher, a liberal preacher. Now, when his son dies, he grabs a hold of the first thing that he sees that is supernatural, forgetting this one thing, that the devil is also supernatural. And he's got a lot of tricks up his sleeve. But he was so desperate to hear from Jim, amen, that the cards took on their form and gave the message. Messages were left. Certain things were left on the floor, turned a different way than there were. And enough to convince Bishop Pike that he had heard from Jim, from the dead. Had he? No. Everybody here knows what happened. Amen. That these who are in contact with familiar spirits, amen, got in contact with a devil. And that devil, who knows a lot about us, amen, told them things that him and Jim only knew, forgetting one thing, that the devil looks in too. He don't know everything like God does, but he knows a lot of things we pull because he instigates it. He keeps records too because he's the accuser of the brethren. He's going to go up there and accuse us to God. But because Jim told his father, Bishop Pike, things that him and Jim only knew, he thought it was real. And so he swallowed hook, line, and sinker the only supernatural thing that he had ever accepted. He went to the Holy Land to look for more treasures in those caves down in Qumran. And I'm not commending the cult of Qumran. I don't think they were right. There's a lot of do-gooder people that they've got an inside on things, and they think, boy, they've got it down pat. They say, Jesus, he was one of those people. No, he was not. Furthermore, they say John the Baptist was one of those people. No, he was not. Amen. John the Baptist didn't preach against getting married. John the Baptist didn't preach against. As a matter of fact, the only way you could join the group at Qumran was to take a vow of celibacy. And the only way they existed as long as they did was they adopted some children to carry on the work for a while. But they went out of existence. John the Baptist didn't have anything to do with the settlement at Qumran. John the Baptist preached repentance. Amen. Jesus preached repentance. Praise God. Amen. Jesus wasn't a member of a cult, neither was John the Baptist. Amen. They, like the Shakers in 100 years ago in the United States, went out of existence. One reason there's not any more Shakers today, they preached against getting married, and if you were married, you couldn't have sexual contact nor children. And that's why there's not any more Shakers today. Amen. They wouldn't have had as long a history as they did had it not been for the fact that they adopted many orphans from the Civil War. And that continued their destiny for a while in the world. As far as I'm concerned, amen, the Shakers were a cult also. The Bible puts his stamp on these people, said forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats. Amen. And all of these things are to be received, he said, with thanksgiving. Amen. Down through the ages, we've had many cults. Amen. The church never prayed to anybody but God for 300 years. For 300 years, they prayed to God in the name of Jesus. And God won't kill you for praying to Jesus. Amen. But the Bible way to pray is to pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. Amen. And sometimes we find ourselves praying interchangeably, and I don't think the Father holds it against us, because He is high in His Son. Amen. For 300 years of church history, the church never prayed to anybody but the Father in the name of Jesus or to the Lord. And then Constantine, amen, accepted Christianity and was baptized. That took the whole Roman Empire into the Christian church. To make a long story short, he took all the temples of the heathen away from the heathen and gave them to the Christians. The heathen merely came back to their own churches, their own temples, embraced Christianity along with their other religions, which included a woman with a babe in her arms. They changed the woman with babe in arms, amen, from the various names depending on what culture you came from, Astarte or Semiramis, way back in Babylon was her name, and that's where it all started, way back in Babylon. The babe in arms was Nimrod himself. Amen. The son. After Nimrod was killed, according to Halley's handbook, by Shem. Amen. And Shem went on the lamb. Semiramis started a new religion. And it pictured a woman with a babe in arms. Amen. And when the earth was divided and the great earthquake took place in the 11th or 12th chapter of Genesis, 11th chapter, 12th verse, I think, and the earth was divided, all that Babyloniousness traveled with the breakoff of those various continents to wherever they were. You say, how did the Indians get to the United States? They were already here all the time. It just broke off. They just rode it across. Amen. How did the pyramids get in South America? Amen. So much like those in Egypt, so much like the tower they built in Babylon. Amen. It was the same bunch of people. Amen. God had already confounded their language, but when the earth was divided and came apart and floated across the sea, amen, there they were in South America. Today you can take a map and cut it out and put it together almost like a jigsaw puzzle from where it broke off. Amen. People begin to scatter over the face of the earth. So across this world there were a people that were building pyramids. What was it? It was pointing toward the sun. Amen. They had almost like worship. They had a same story about a flood or variations thereof, no matter where you went. Amen. In Rome, amen, it wasn't any different. The heathen temples were everywhere. Amen. Constantine had taken them away from the heathen and gave them to the Christians. The heathen just embraced Christianity and came back and still prayed to their woman deity with babe in arms. They just changed her name to Mary. That's all they had to do. Change one word to Mary. For 300 years, the Christians hadn't prayed to a woman. Now, in the next century, they would begin to pray to a deity that they had changed her name to Mary. Amen. They claimed that they were the only religion in the world. They claimed to be the universal church, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. More and more, the prayer part of the church and the confession part of the church became delegated more and more to the priests. And the Bible was chained to the pulpit lest the people should get the Bible out and read it and find out for themselves that they could pray to God and pray through and get a hold of God. But if you keep people in the dark and tell them the same story from their youth right on up. They'll believe it till the day they die. Amen. However many down through the ages saw the light. Savonarola saw the light. John Chrysostom saw the light. Amen. Ah, oh, glory to God. Luther saw the light and tacked his 93 theses on the door of Wittenberg Church and declared, amen, that the just shall live by faith. While they had a long way to go to shake off all the trappings and all the superstitions of the past, step by step, we've made our way thus far, this close to the rapture. And the church, praise God, has had a renaissance. We've come out of those dark ages that incidentally, the Romans called the millennial reign. History calls it the dark ages. When they came out of the dark ages, history calls it the renaissance. What did the renaissance begin with? It began with Luther as he climbed those steps. He wasn't the only one. There were many others. But it had an initial start with Luther. As a monk, he climbed those steps with broken glass at periodic places. Climbed those steps on his bare knees through that broken glass doing penance. And God spoke to him and said, the just shall live by faith. Luther climbing those stairs in Rome. Hallelujah. Amen. No more are we bound by a certain intermediary except Christ Himself. Amen. And the very moment we get ready to call upon Him, we can call upon Jesus. The song says, anytime. Hallelujah. We can call on Him any hour, any day. We don't have to travel across the world. We don't have to travel across the country. We don't have to seek out a priest nor a prophet. Neither Urim nor the Thummim. The Holy Spirit here. Heaven's deity has come down. It stretches from sea to sea. Amen. You can't climb so high that He's not there. You can't dig so deep that He's not there. Hey, try it tonight. You can call on God for yourself. And God will do miracles for you. Praise God. You can call on God for yourself. Hallelujah. And God will make a way for you. Hallelujah. Amen. Elisha, he had a great miracle. He saw Elijah go up. He cried, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And he looked up and he saw something coming down. He reached out and caught it. Amen. Brother Warren Moorhead said he got something he can feel.
He caught the mantle of Elijah. Praise God. He went back. Elijah's gone now. Elijah can't get a hold of God for him now. Amen. He went back to the same Jordan River. They'd walked across on dry land, twisted that old mantle up, praise God, and Elisha smote the water and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And the water rolled back. And he walked across like he'd walk the aisle of a church. Praise God. Ooh, the sons of the prophets might have had doubts, but Elisha didn't have no doubt. You know the reason they had doubts? They was following too far off. Amen. The conditions were, if you see me when I go away, you can have that double portion. Amen. Now, get a hold of this. James said in James chapter 4, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Ooh, think about it. Amen. What would you think if you went down to the Delta counter down here? Amen. And everyone you went to at the Delta counter trying to get a ticket. Amen. They turned everything around to you, gave you a typewriter and a ticket, and said, write your own ticket. So, well, I come to buy a ticket. They said, well, it's all free today. Write your own ticket. Type your own ticket out. Where you want to go? Well, I'll tell you where I'd like to go. I've never been to Hawaii before. I'd like to take a trip to Hawaii. Write your own ticket. I've never been to Acapulco. I've never been to South America. I'd like to go to London and see the Tower of London, where they keep the crown jewel. Write your own ticket. Amen. Say, man, let me get on the telephone and call my friends. We need to get up a tour. Praise God. This is something I've never seen before. But that's just exactly what God tells us to do. He said, draw nigh to God, and I'll draw nigh to you. The Havis told us about he was down praying. God, and God spoke to him and said, what do you want, Havis? It kind of took him by surprise. He said, I guess, Lord, I want the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He had had the Holy Ghost for years, but he wanted another filling of the Holy Ghost, praise God. And he got it. Hey, folks, praise God, you can write your own ticket tonight. You can come to God for yourself. Amen. Oh, there's a lot of catchy jingles that get a hold of you, you know, if you're not very careful. People repeat them over and over and over and over again, you know. You find yourself repeating them. Amen. But the Bible said you don't have to make vain repetition. Now, he won't strike you dead if you say, glory, 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 glory. Because in heaven they're saying, holy, 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 holy. Everywhere they look, he said, holy. Look somewhere else, holy, holy. They look at the throne, say, holy. They look at the middle throne, they say, holy. They look at the sea of glass and say, holy. And day and night they just keep seeing holy things and say, holy, holy, holy. Day and night and cease not. Wouldn't hurt to have a whole service like that once in a while, where the people just sing, holy, holy, holy. Amen. Because we're behind on our praises to God. I'm telling you tonight that if we're not praying, and I tell you, we just might as well confess we don't pray enough. Why don't we pray enough? Because we don't want to meet the conditions. Huh? Amen. Yeah, there's some things bothering us that we just won't give up. Amen. Brother Cobb went back and asked a young man in Cape Girardeau, Missouri, when he was pastoring there, young man, don't you want the Lord to save you from your sins? And the man looked up and kind of curled his lip a little bit in a silly little smile and said, I like my sins. And a lot of folks like their sins. Barely like getting a hold of God. Amen. You know what I found out? When I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I had to give up everything. Ooh-wee. Amen. I just shut clean of everything. Finally, I just told the Lord, I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll say what you want me to say. I'll be what you want me to be. Amen. Just fill me with the Holy Ghost. Amen. It wasn't too long praying like that till I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Speaking other tongues. Amen. And I still speak in tongues just about every day. Amen. If I forget one day, I'll speak in tongues twice the next day. Or twice as much the next day. Praise God. Because saints can do a lot of praying in tongues. Because sometimes we don't know how to pray. We don't need Mary to pray for us. We got something better than that. We need the Holy Ghost to pray for us. We need the Holy Ghost to pray through us. We need the Holy Ghost to put words on our tongue. Hallelujah. And pray with the Spirit and pray with the understanding also. For we know not how we ought to pray. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Charles G. Finney, that Presbyterian preacher of bygone revival days, tells of his early conversion. How he went to the woods and fell down on his knees by a log. Amen. And prayed through. And he said, I literally bellowed out the unutterable gushings of my soul. Charles G. Finney was filled with the Holy Ghost and rocked his world for God. Amen. If you know the Bible and the promise in the Bible, you're rich. Raise your hand and praise Him. You're rich. You're rich in God. Hallelujah. Praise God. D.L. Moody prayed through till the glory came down upon his soul. He felt the grace of God coursing through every fiber of his being. He couldn't stand it. He got up and ran clear downstairs from where he was praying, out on the street. And the first person he met, he said, do you know grace? And he said, grace who? Amen. The world won't understand. But you'll know. You can touch God. You can touch Him for yourself. Hallelujah. A little woman pressed through the crowd. Amen. Said, if I can just touch the hem of His garment, I'll be made whole. She dragged her frail frame through that pressing throng. Amen. She suffered many a trial that day, no doubt. Many a discouragement. What an obstacle course it was to press through that crowd. And she reached out and touched the hem of His garment. Amen. Hallelujah. And it was like sometimes if I wear a certain type of shoes and get to dragging around on this carpet and touch this microphone to my nose, spark will fly off my nose onto the microphone. Amen. She touched the hem of His garment. Amen. And the sparks flew. The fire flew. That's what we call it. That's figurative language. Amen. But she was made whole. And Jesus turned around and said, somebody touched me. A whole lot of people touched you, Lord. This is a big crowd. He said, no. He said, somebody's faith touched me. Because virtue has gone out of me. Strength. It was like contacting 110 volts. Praise God. Amen. Power went out of his body. Hallelujah. And you know there's power in Christians. Bodies. Amen. You can lay hands on people when you're filled with power. And they'll feel the difference. The Bible said they shall lay hands on the sick. And they shall recover. Hallelujah. There's power in the laying on of hands. The people of God. Hey. Hallelujah. He said, somebody touched me. Amen. And this woman, trembling and afraid, amen, confessed it was her. He said, don't be afraid. Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. Praise God. Amen. You can pray and get that power. Preachers pray so they'll have power when they stand behind the pulpit, lay hands on people. But some of the greatest men I ever knew left the pulpit after preaching, praying for folks, completely drained out. Amen. Brother Branham in his early days and in those better days would pray for folks and minister to folks until he would fall back. And they would have to catch him. And they would carry him out of the service every night because he totally, completely exhausted himself. Hey, what do we do to get that power back? We pray. We get a hold of God. Amen. Jamie said he had trouble getting to church the other night. Amen. He told us he had a dead battery. He didn't intend to have a dead battery, but he left his dome light on. Huh? Amen. And he had to get a charge before he could get his car started and get to church. Hey, how's your charging apparatus tonight? Is your generator broke? What is the generator, the alternator of the saint? It's prayer. Amen. It's prayer. Hallelujah. My goodness, I don't understand electricity. Amen, but I ain't going to walk. Oh, I understand a little bit about it, but not near enough to make a generator. I don't know how to make a generator or an alternator. Amen. But I'm going to get out there and turn the keys on and ride home tonight 1,000 feet. Amen. In my Cadillac. Hallelujah. Ew! Why walk home in the mud unless you got a dead battery? Praise God. Hey, amen. Most of us don't know much about an automobile. Some of you ladies don't know much about an automobile. Amen. Most of you are smarter than Brother Shell was. They told him he needed a quart of oil, and so he took a quart of oil and opened up the hood, and the only place he could find handy to pour it was the first thing he came to. He didn't know, but he had poured a quart of oil in his windshield washers. Amen. And he said he was preaching in Mobile, Alabama, at Allendale Fellowship meeting, when he told it. He said, I got to going down the street, and it started raining. And he said, I turned my windshield washers on. And he said, my windshield all clouded up. And he said, I'd poured a quart of oil in my windshield washers. And I sure enough couldn't see now because I was squirting it on the windshield. Amen. Hey, most of you know better than that. But tell the truth about it. Brother Shell had my tickle box already turned over. And when he turned on them windshield wipers, squirting that oil on that windshield, I like to fell out of the seat. Amen. Hallelujah. We may not understand much about a car, but we know it works. We believe it works. Most of the time it works anyhow. Amen. And if you go up the road and something goes sput, 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 bloom, blam, plunk, and you're dead in the water. Amen. Oh my, I forgot to fill up with gas. You got to fill it up. Hallelujah. You got to fill it up. Hey, back when I first started driving cars, everywhere you went, Tom, and you drove into the station, you told the man that came out and wiped your windshield off. Wasn't no self-service back then. It was all full service. They checked you all, wiped your windshield. I said, fill her up. We need to come to God and say, fill her up. Praise God. Hey, charge me up. Amen. Give me a full charge. If you've got an electric apparatus, electric car, amen, you got to charge that thing. Amen. And there's going to be more of them out in coming years. More electric vehicles. I mean, all underneath from front to rear just about be battery. And you'll have to leave them plugged up overnight. But if you charge them up, you can drive 100 miles on one charge. Just as silent and quiet as a golf cart down the highway. Amen. Because you charged it up. That's why we need to go to church. We need to plug into the charge. But we don't have to go all the way to church. We plug into the main line before we get there. We can get charged up and have power enough to lay hands on somebody else. Power enough to minister to somebody else. Power to worship and praise God and glorify God and magnify God. Hey, tonight, you have the greatest opportunity the world's ever known to write your own ticket. Whatever and how much you want of God, you can have it. Praise God. Whether you're young or whether you're old, you can get a hold of God. Hallelujah. Let's stand and let's pray. Father, reach out. Touch your people special. Encourage their faith. Encourage their hearts, their souls, their minds. Oh Lord, to seek the Lord. He may be found. To call upon Him while He is near. Oh, to meet all the conditions over and over again. If we must. Amen. Because it's going to be worth it all just to touch Jesus. Hallelujah. And touching Jesus is all that really matters tonight. Touching Jesus. Hallelujah is what we want. Amen. As they sing, we invite you to come and seek Him. Cry out to Him. It won't make Him nervous if you cry out to the top of your voice. Hallelujah. Yeah, and He tunes in on the faintest whisper and the faintest cry. Cry out to Him tonight. Cry out to Jesus. Call on God. Amen.